relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
You take on the intelligence community, they have six ways from Sunday at getting back at you. So even for a practical, supposedly hard-nosed businessman, he's being really dumb to do this.
What do you think the intelligence community would do if they were motivated?
I don't know, but from what I am told, they are very upset with how he has treated them and talked about them.
Why would you do that, even if you're a fringe character, if you're Alex Jones, if you're some right-wing extremist like Nick Fuentes? Why would you threaten an incumbent president with revenge from the American intelligence community, let alone if you are the majority leader in the Senate, Chuck Schumer? I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, and we are delighted to have somebody in studio to answer that question, a man whose curriculum vitae, his resume, is rather impressive. Kash Patel, welcome to One-on-One.
It's great to be with you. This studio is awesome. People need to be here.
This is my bat cave. What do you think?
This is a heck of a bat cave with the best backdrop I've ever seen.
I know. We had to take that from our old studio. The best photograph of Sean Connery, in my opinion. But we've got all the ephemera of my childhood, Star Trek, Doctor Who, Batman as well. But what's with you, dude? Where's the suit? Where's the...
Seb, I thought
the
we got
swamp
to,
outfit.
I thought we got it to a point in my relationship where the suit is for swamp creatures. You're not a swamp creature.
God,
man.
Is that why I have here, like one of those infomercials, just available under the desk, my own Cash Fight with Cash hoodie, which I have a lovely hoodie I use for walking the dogs as America First, but we now have to rotate between this lovely OD green one that I've just received moments ago in our green room. We're going to talk about what Fight with Cash is. We're going to talk about what you are doing out there to drain the swamp. But first things first, let's just try. It's going to be hard to do. We only have a few minutes to open the show. But tell everybody out there just a thumbnail of what you've done professionally at DOJ, on the Hill, and at the Pentagon. What kinds of things have you done in the last 15 years, Cash?
No, I appreciate it. As always, it's great to be on your show. It's one of my favorites. So started out as a public defender. Thought that would last a day or so. It went on for a minute. Then I became a terrorism prosecutor. Then I was 14.
So you were putting away terrorists as a government prosecutor?
Yes, for the Department of Justice.
Amazing.
Yeah, it was a great job. Then we crossed paths at JSOC. I served a tour duty at JSOC as
right,
civilian.
Joint Special Operations Command, which are the sharpest bit the cool of the
guys.
Tip of the spear.
Yeah.
The coolest of
yeah.
the cool.
So got to work with you and SEAL Team 6 and Delta targeting operations on the world. Fantastic. Then Donald Trump gets elected. I meet Devin Nunes. I want to go to the White House. He's like, we got this Russiagate thing. And I was like, well, no one's really paying attention to that, but whatever. Let's do a quick investigation on the Hill.
So you wanted to go to the White House.
Yeah.
But the chairman of the intelligence committee says, no, we've got this weird thing about Russian collusion. Can you come and work for me?
He was like, look, with your background, prosecutor, investigator, intel, why don't come here for a year. We'll put together a quick report and you'll be on your way. And I was like, okay, it's good. I'd never worked in Congress before. I was never a staffer. And so went over to the intel community, ran Russiagate. As a chief investigator, he nor I thought it would become the biggest criminal conspiracy in American history. And then luckily thereafter, true to his word, Devin sent me to the White House. I ran counterterrorism for the president, and then I became deputy director.
So you were senior director for counterterrorism in the NSC in the Trump administration?
Yep.
And then where did you go?
Then I tried to stay in that job, but I lost that argument with the president. And he made me deputy director of national intelligence, overseeing the intelligence community.
Working for?
Rick Grenell and Johnny, and then Johnny Ratcliffe for a little bit. And then I again went back to what was my favorite job, running counterterrorism as a senior director there at the White House.
Which was going to be my job.
I didn't know that.
When I worked for Mike Flynn in transition, I was going to be CT senior director.
What happened?
8 days before the inauguration, somebody called Steve Bannon says, no, you're working for me as strategist to the president.
All right. Well, okay, so there you go.
Small world.
You lost up.
And then what happened? So you want to go back to counterterrorism, finding and whacking the bad guys, and then what happens?
And then I lost another argument with President Trump, and I said, this is the best job ever. And he says, that's nice, but you need to go run the Department of Defense as the chief of staff.
Which was a position created, was that chief of staff position is not one that was known in the past.
It's not one that was known in the past. And he said, well, you go do it. We trust you. And, you know.
And what was your remit? Were you making things run on time for the SecDef?
Well, I mean, the mandate was pretty simple. He's like, Cash, you and Chris Miller, who was the acting SecDef at the time, after we fired Esper, he said, end the forever wars. I've been campaigning on it for six years.
The dumb, stupid forever wars. Bring our guys back.
Bring our guys home. Kill terrorists. Bring home hostages. Do the basic stuff. And, oh, by the way, make NATO pay more for everything and stop making us be the piggy bank. Pretty simple, right? But I was shocked.
And really why he was elected, right? I mean, it's one of the reasons. Secure the border, stop the stupid wars, and get government out of the way.
Yeah, and then take on the narco traffickers. And we did all that, but it was shocking for me to see at the Department of Defense, the largest company on planet Earth, 3 million employees. It was shocking to me that almost no one there was doing what he had been elected to do. And that's because the political leadership, the guys like Esper and Milley and all these guys, said, no, the president doesn't run America, we do.
One of the most dangerous things I saw happen in the White House was when a general would go to the president when the president asked, why do we do this like this, whatever it was, defending an Asian country at our own cost when they're very rich. Right. And the general would say, because that's how we've been doing it for 20 years. If you said that to President Trump, I was like, excuse me?
That's not gonna work.
A reason? What? Right?
He hated that. Oh, that was the worst thing you could say to him.
Okay, so let's go back in time. You wanted to do the CT position. Go back to that. Of all the things, let me ask two questions. Of all the jobs you've done, and that's an amazing career. I mean, you can retire now. You know, stop starting new companies, Cash Patel. Which one was the most satisfying? And which one was the most disturbing in terms of stuff you found out? Working for Devon?
Yeah, I think the most disturbing, going backwards, is probably as a guy who was a terrorism prosecutor who used the FISA court and the intelligence community like you did to put down bad guys, to do kill capture operations. I was shocked that the FBI could intentionally lie to the most secret court we have, receive top cover from the Department of Justice, and then falsely surveil a presidential candidate. I mean, this isn't even Stephen King science fiction.
No,
this
it's is beyond insanity. That. It's beyond that.
So it just disturbed me. But what disturbed me even more was I thought, okay, we found it.
Right.
This is something everyone in America should know about and get behind to fix. What disturbed me more was the response from the left and the mainstream media. They just crushed us and said, you're wrong, you're lying, damn the facts, damn the evidence. And for 4 years, you know what they did? They ruined half of what American news receives. They said, these guys cannot be listened to, even though they're right. We're going to lie to you for 4 straight years. And they folded in the intelligence community to do their bidding along the way with leaks of classified information, which I know a lot about, not as a leaker, but as a guy.
I'm the guy who a week into the administration, when the new classified National Security Council phone book was leaked to the Washington Post before Mike Flynn had even signed off on it. I'm the guy who said, hey, Mike, you know what? Get every damn stinking polygrapher from DOJ over to the Eisenhower Executive Building, and I don't care whether we appointed them or whether they're a holdover, polygraph every employee in the building until we find the leaker and perp walk them out across the North Lawn in front of the cameras. Mike, he said, can't rock the boat too early. 3 days later, he was fired. So, yeah, this is when you know the swamp, the deep state, it's not a theory, is it, Cash?
Yeah.
It's real.
It existed, unfortunately. It exists now. And so that was the shocking part, the disturbing part. Being a counterterrorism guy and being able to run counterterrorism for President Trump was probably...
The most fun?
The most fun, because we just got after it.
Right. Unleashed the greatest nation on God's earth to kill bad guys.
He said, look, you know, and I haven't told anyone this, but I had a classified org chart on the back of my skiff door. One for ISIS.
The secure facility in which you work. The skiff.
One for ISIS, Baghdadi at the top on down. One for Al-Qaeda, right? Ayman al-Zawahiri on down. And he said, kill them. Kill them all. We got over 90% of these guys during his administration. 90%. Wow. Some of them we'll talk about in 25 years. But You know, and then when you see American hostages reunited with their families who've been separated for two, three, four, 5 years.
That's something that, you know? I don't know, somebody, Regnery, you, somebody who worked for you, needs to write that book about what we did, just what we did for hostages in those 4 years is truly remarkable.
I got a surprise for you. We're writing it.
Oh, well, great minds, great minds. Okay, guys, we're talking to Kash Patel. We're going to have a one-on-one for the whole hour. You've got to follow him. He is on Truth Social. Of course, he's got, you know, a very cool moniker. It's at Kash with a K. Also, it is fightwithkash.com and his amazing conservative, what do you call it, transaction processing? What
yeah, payment processing company.
Payment processing where you cannot be canceled. It is, of course, patriots.us. We're going to discuss all of that and more. If you enjoy the show, don't forget, subscribe, go to Spotify, plug in my name, Sebastian Gorka, and America First, and you'll never ever miss an episode. If you haven't done so already, be sure to join us. Book your tickets for our Stand With Israel tour later this year. We are traveling to the Holy Land with my wonderful Salem colleague, Dinesh D'Souza, and his lovely wife, Debbie. Even if you've been to the Holy Land before, you haven't been with me and Dinesh. All the places you've read about in the Bible, we're going to be there. We're going to be standing on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, right there at the Wailing Wall, Jerusalem, the Temple Mount. It is the trip of a lifetime. 10 days later this year, I'm not vaccinated. I'm going because Israel realized they got it wrong. Reserve your tickets today for the trip of a lifetime. Go to standwithisraeltour.com or call 855-565-5519. That's 855-565-5519. StandWithIsraelTour.com. That's StandWithIsraelTour.com. In November of 2020, the Democrats were up to no good. They were planning to pull off the greatest scheme of election fraud ever. They didn't think we would catch them, but we did. Find out what they did and how they did it in the new documentary film, 2000 Mules, directed and narrated by renowned filmmaker Salem's own Dinesh D'Souza and executive produced by the Salem Media Group with research from True the Vote. 2000 Mules tells the story of criminals who tried to hijack a presidential election. You'll see the actual video surveillance footage. You'll see how we tracked the mules by their cell phones to box after box as they got paid to carry out this illegal scheme. Watch the movie, decide for yourself. Attend the limited release premieres on May 2nd and May 4th. Check out your local listings. Get your tickets today only at 2000mules.com. That's the number 2000mules.com. We're talking deep state, we're talking the swamp, we're talking the perversion of the tools of federal power. What more do you need than a former CIA director saying the following? Play cut.
I don't expect Mr. Putin to acknowledge it. He's, you know, he's going to deny, deny, deny. But for the President of the United States to continue to prevaricate on this issue, I think does a great injustice and a disservice to the men and women of the intelligence law enforcement community, and does a great disservice to the citizens of the United States. And that's why I said it was nothing short of treasonous.
So I've asked you this before on the show, Kash, and I've got to ask it again because it's of such magnitude as far as I'm concerned, as somebody who's still got my clearances, worked in an intelligence unit in the British Army, worked in the Defense Department in the White House. When a guy like that, who still has his clearances, all of them, the highest level clearances, as a former CIA director, in a new administration on cable TV, calls the new president a traitor, treasonous. Forget domestic politics. Forget the swamp here and everything you saw in the fake Russiagate. What does that do to the national interests of all Americans? If you think of people in North Korea, people in Moscow who want to help us, who want to be walk-ins, want to go to the local embassy, say, hey, Putin really is crazy. Here's what you need to know. Or somebody who's going to tell us about the nuclear weapons program in Iran. When they hear that and they say, and they don't know American politics, they say, that guy just called the president of America a Russian agent, called him a traitor. I'm not going to give the Americans any assistance. What does that one sentence do to the safety of all Americans? How truly treasonous is John Brennan's soundbite?
Yeah, well, actually, that's a great point. No one's ever put it quite like that. What it does is it eviscerates 275 years of the American experiment.
Right.
That's why we are different from the world. we can come here from all over the world and all be American and say, okay, no matter what happens, we have a democratic process, a president that's elected, and a chain of command that cannot be broken. And once you leave government service, you don't then turn around and go ahead and politically attack with cheap shots and fake rhetoric the current commander in chief. And if you're the rest of the world looking in after Trump comes in and you have cabinet level secretaries, former directors of the CIA coming in and saying the president of the United States is treasonous with no actual information, no facts to support it, just to extend a political narrative, it's no surprise that the rest of the world looks at us and says, well, we can't take you guys seriously anymore. So it eviscerates not a Republican or Democratic policy or institution or government. It crushes American national security because we were at the top. Yeah. And Seb, now look where we are. I mean, I don't even think our president currently receives phone calls from any of the world leaders anymore when we talk Ukraine, China, Russia, the border, the opioid crisis.
Or, you know, can you help us, OPEC, and, you know, MBS in Saudi Arabia says, sorry, I'm not returning your calls, Joe Biden.
No, I'm too busy with meeting with Bashar al-Assad.
Yeah,
I'll catch you next week.
All right, so I want to drive down deep on this because, you know, we're still accused of being conspiracy theorists. There is no deep state. Let me give you two examples of when... I didn't use the phrase deep state when I arrived in the Trump administration.
I didn't either.
I said, little tinfoil hattie, and I don't like conspiracy theories. I like conspiracy facts. Then after 3 or 4 weeks of... I wasn't on the NSC like you were. I was in the Office of Strategic Initiatives for the president, but I went to all the NSC meetings that impinged upon my work. So China, defeat ISIS.
Your background.
Right. I was there just to know what's going on. And then I'd sit there for an hour and a half, with all the outstations in the sit room, in a classified environment, and I'd listen for an hour and a half, and nobody mentioned the name President Trump, and nobody said what the president said yesterday in Warsaw about ISIS or what he said about China. So there was as if the election hasn't occurred, mm-hmm. and I'd be the guy at the end of the meeting in a British accent saying, excuse me, everyone, you do know what the president said about China yesterday or ISIS yesterday. Are we actually achieving the goals that he set? And it's like, who is this weirdo reminding us that we've had an election? And then I realized that these are SESs, senior bureaucrats, SISs, who think, election, okay, I'm the guy, I'm the boss. Who cares what the people, 64 million people, think? So one, I started to understand, yeah, it's real. And then after 7 months, I've told you this, after 7 months of trying to second some former students of mine, three who were at the FBI, and one at the CIA for an at-named request to come to the White House to work for me on a special project, I was told by somebody at the FBI off the record, hey, Seb, you're never going to get those guys because the seventh floor at the Hoover building looks at this building, the White House, as, quote, the enemy. Then I realized, yep, there's a deep state. Yeah. Can you reinforce, can you tell our millions of listeners and viewers that this isn't Gawker making stuff up or this isn't just some strange anecdotal evidence that isn't reflexive of the city?
Seb, I wish I could tell your viewers that you were just making stuff up because then it would be, you know, we'd have a laugh about it and we'd carry on our democratic process, but it's killing our democracy. And I'll give your audience, you know, fact-based conspiracy, right? Russiagate. We unravel this investigation, and what do we find? The same FBI that told you from the seventh floor of the Hoover building, you're never getting these guys, because, and James Comey was running at the time, because who cares about President Trump? I'm in charge.
Right.
These same guys who perpetrated this fraud and lied to a federal court and smudged a FISA warrant and pumped in information paid by a political party and buried that documentation and then got higher up levels DOJ, the Associate Deputy Attorney General, in Bruce Orr to come in and shepherd that process through just so they could spy, just so James Comey could come into meetings like this and say, President Trump's not in charge, I am. That actually happened.
Yeah.
That's been proven, not by my words or your words or Devin's words, by the FBI's own documents, by the DOJ's own documents, by their own recordings, by the sworn testimony they gave to federal court. And now, what you and I covered it, we lived it, we covered it back then, but thank God now America's seeing it on full display because of John Durham. I know we're going to talk about it, but the part that scares me is, you know, you talk to millions of people, you talk to more people than I probably almost, the only person that talks to more people than you is probably Trump. But no, it's important because how many people come up to you and say, wait, Russiagate, isn't that the thing where Trump did X?
Yeah.
And you know, you just, you put your head down and you're like, Wow, where did you get your news for the last 5 years?
I was at a political event for my wife who's running for the local community center board because she's fed up with, you know, transgender story hour with drag queens. And I had another candidate, a Democrat, say, what do you mean? The Mueller report proved that the president is a traitor. And I'm like, did you read it? If it did, then why isn't he in prison? He's a private citizen now. So there's reality, mm-hmm. and then there's narrative, and the question is, who's winning the narrative war? We're talking to Kash Patel. You've got to follow him on Truth Social. It is at Kash with a K. Also, fightwithkash.com. And, of course, his new amazing service for conservatives who don't want to be cancelled and who have businesses. It is patriots.us. We'll discuss that in a moment as well. Mike Lindell has a true passion to help everyone get the best sleep of their lives. Therefore, he created the Giza Dream bed sheets. They look and feel incredible, which translates to an even better night's sleep for you. Mike's latest amazing deal is the sale of the year. For a limited time, you will receive 60% off the Giza Dream sheets that come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. You'll receive a full set for as low as $39.99. And for a limited time, with any purchase, you'll receive Mike's soft cover book free when you use promo code GORKA. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and use promo code GORKA. Along with this offer, you'll also get deep, deep discounts on all his MyPillow products, including the MyPillow mattress topper, MyPillow towel sets, and so much more. Call 800-829-8468, promo code GORKA. Just go to MyPillow.com, promo code GORKA. Kash, I've got to ask you about how we fix all of this. Let's start with, you've worked at the DOJ, you've worked in a White House. What is it going to take? So I know if we win the Senate and the House, President Trump is running. It's a certitude. I think he'll stroll back if we can secure the elections. What happens then? What do you do with DOJ? Because you can't change the whole, you can't replace everybody.
No.
What do you do with the FBI? As somebody who's literally educated thousands of special agents, SOS staff, and intelligence analysts, I'm gutted by what I've seen because I like these guys. But I've seen one FBI whistleblower in 5 years, which means there's a real cultural problem there because people are serving warrants they shouldn't have served. They should have said, here's my badge, Mr. Director, here's my gun. This is wrong. This is politicized. That FISA warrant is garbage. I'm not serving it. Mm-hmm. So do you have any ideas as a guy who's run the Pentagon as chief of staff, where do you even begin to have organizations in federal government that serve all Americans?
Well, it's pretty simple. You put you back in charge. No, but that's, you know, it is that simple, right? Personnel is the key. It's the thing that I think President Trump now realized in the first 2 years. You know, they didn't know. They were coming in from business world, super successful, having never served in government. And they said, rightly so, we can trust the careers. That's what you're supposed to do.
Right.
That's why your career. That I was a career. For my entire career, I was a career. I wasn't even a political under President Trump. Because the mission mattered more. So the way you fix it, whether it's whatever three-letter agency, DOJ, FBI, CIA, DNI, DOD, whatever, it's personnel. But it's not just the top guy or gal.
Because this is the issue. So I like Mike Pompeo, but Mike Pompeo was sucked up by state. He went there to change it, I know, because I had breakfast with him in the Navy mess in the West Wing. And he said, I'm going to die on that hill, Seb. I'm going to reform the State Department so it represents America. Toast. The next Christmas card I get from him, it doesn't mention Jesus. It's got abstract art on it. And it's like celebrating diversity at the State Department. I said, Mike, you're gone. The swamp ate you. The blob ate you. So it's not just the cabinet member. So what happens next, Cash, beneath the cabinet members?
Oh, you know this. You got to go 4 or 5 levels down. It's the deputy secretary. Yeah. It's the undersecretary. It's the chiefs of staff. It's the guys that report liaise between that agency and the White House.
Right.
And it's the National Security Council. We have that bench, Seb. You know that. You've worked.
It's small.
But
we've got to build it.
But it exists. And I think what the Trump administration did was bring out careers in government that agree with President Trump politically. And I think we have to go mine some of those people, because
so find the professional bureaucrats who believe that elections actually matter.
I mean, there's not a lot of them, but they're there.
Enough to build upon.
Enough, because you don't need to replace the 2 million, whatever it is, 5 million person U.S. government workforce. You just need the top five at every agency or department, maybe 10 or 15.
But with consequences for those. So my idea, let me run this past you. I don't know if I've ever passed this by you. So about a month into the administration, I went to Bannon, I went to Steve, and I said, who's chief strategist? I'm strategist to the president. I said, you know what? There's some issues at the departments. You know, we've had an election. Things aren't moving the way 64 million people wanted. Steve, we need 24 guys in teams of two. I'm happy to volunteer to be one of them, who are bastards, who are hard bastards. And every week in twos, go from the White House to the agency, whether it's agriculture, whether it's the CIA, and say on a Friday, Mr. Secretary, what have you done in the last 5 days to implement President Trump's agenda? And when you get the wrong answers, sooner or later, we tell the president, you know what? That guy you chose, swamp, he's not doing it. There needs to be a control mechanism that isn't the usual one, which gets sucked up in paperwork, delays, security clearances being shuffled under a desk. Don't you need some kind of team to make sure the elections actually have consequences?
I agree with you on a large scale. I probably disagree with you on a small scale, because the thing that's supposed to happen is you shouldn't need that.
No, but it didn't work.
But it didn't work. You're right. And I think the root of that can be solved by implementing the National Security Council, because they're supposed to be the hub of the entire wheel that actually does that reporting, that gets the cabinet level secretaries to report in, and then you tell the president on a daily basis, this guy or
but then the senior directors really have to be doing that function. The NSC senior directors can't be sitting in the Eisenhower building every day doing micromanagement of target lists like they did for Obama.
Yeah. Well, they can't also be Fiona Hill.
They can't be people undermining the president like Fiona Hill.
Yeah.
Or what's his name? Don't call me Mr.
Vindman.
Right? Vindman. Yeah. Sorry, Vindman. All right, I could do this for hours, but first let's actually pay the rent, because that's why we're here, and that's how we give you this amazing show. So right at the beginning of our discussion, you mentioned the FISA courts. Mm-hmm. Now, most people, for good reason, are not aware what these are, which is fine. You shouldn't be if you're not breaking laws or working with terrorists. But this is the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act courts, secret courts, no jury. Judges' identities held is secret. It meets in private. And this is where you get warrants to surveil on U.S. citizens in America if there's some nexus to national security. It is clear that it's been perverted. It's clear that we had DOJ, FBI lawyers doctor CIA documents, literally reversing their meaning so members of the Trump team could be illegally spied upon. My question to you, as a former national security prosecutor, as somebody who worked behind, you know, the wire with JSOC, can we keep the FISA? Does it have to be radically revised? The idea of, you know, if the founding fathers, let me run it past you, like, if the founding fathers had been told, you know, 200 years later, there's going to be a secret court that is giving out warrants to spy on American citizens, would they have agreed?
It'd be a tough sell. In all honesty, it'd be a tough sell. And maybe I'm a little biased. The way the statute and the way the court and the way the product is supposed to work, just think of it like this, Seb, for the audience. A FISA court gives out search warrants just like a federal judge gives out search warrants.
Yeah.
Standards the same, probable cause. It's just for national security-related stuff, to terrorism and espionage and things like that. Now, I can tell you, I made cases that I would never have made, meaning we nabbed terrorists we never would have nabbed without the FISA process.
Because what made it so useful?
Because the tools that we are able to actually appropriately use with our intelligence community overseas, which I believe is the whole point of the FISA.
Yes. Court,
you're not supposed to really use it in America
right.
in the first place, but that's a separate story, then allows you to monitor and collect on terrorists and terrorist actions in places we just don't have placement and access. Right. And that's very helpful when you want to find someone, when you want to get information, when you want to build a case. And then when you capture that person, what are you going to do with them? Right? Have the ACLU scream at you? No, you need to have your case built. And that's what the FISA court, the FISA process is in place for. So at its core, I've always advocated for it. Now, I'm also the guy that found out that it was being completely bastardized and I'm the guy that's screaming the loudest it needs total reform. As a result of the Russiagate investigation that Devin and I ran and then we put out our report, most people don't know this. The Inspector General of the Department of Justice, the Obama Inspector General of the Department of Justice, still in power, issued three reports about the FISA court. Over 1,000 errors in 1,000 FISA applications before the court have been found.
And when you say errors,
not
like,
I got the guy's name got wrong. No, like, why isn't the information that supports this fact being presented?
In it.
Where is it? Right. Why did you not give me the whole information? Why did you leave out evidence of innocence? Why are you, the FBI, coming in here and being political? To have it happen at that level, to have it happen mostly under James Comey, and then, of course, under Christopher Wray, who comes out every time we hit him when the IG hits him with the report of incontrovertible fact that you guys are still screwing up, he just says, oh, well, we're going to listen to your reform suggestions. No. The IG cannot reform the FISA court.
Yeah.
Congress has to reform the FISA
But what
court.
Does that look like? If you say this is something that has to be available to capture or neutralize terrorists or threats abroad, how do we stop it being perverted 1,000 times in 1,000 warrants?
So we actually had like 17 recommendations in our Russiagate report that we put out that obviously nobody really read because it was pretty long. But you can't do anything. They're just recommendations if you don't have the weight of Congress, the Senate, to put it in front of you. The number one thing, don't make it so secret. How about if you, the government, are going in there to surveil an American citizen or someone related to an American citizen, like in any other proceeding, there's another attorney there.
Representing that target.
They don't have to know that their target's being represented, but at least they're offering the judge the other side to say, hang on a second.
So
we called it a...
So that classical confrontational aspect is applied to...
An ombudsman, right? Just an experienced, seasoned lawyer who's a national security guy.
And that would be enough, do you think?
That would be a good start. The other thing is, here's the thing we don't do in FISA court, which most people don't know. Like every other court proceeding you've ever seen, you've watched everything from Matlock to whatever, right? A court reporter. It's really simple. Why does the FISA court not require court reporters?
What?
Yes. That's why there's half of these proceedings you go into and you try to review. They're like, well, we just had a conversation and there's nothing recorded except the pleading.
Okay.
Like, that's unacceptable.
That's unacceptable.
Yeah,
that's
so
just wrong.
But it's simple fixes, right? When they know that these things are being done, then the characters can't act corruptly.
Right. Because
then they're going to get caught like they did with John Durham.
All right. So why is a guy who's been a public defender, terrorist prosecutor, helped targeting terrorists, run the Pentagon, worked in the White House, why did you start something called Fight With Cash? What is fightwithcash.com? I appreciate the sweatshirt and the hoodie, but tell everybody why you were so driven to do this. What are you trying to achieve? What are you trying to stop?
Well, look, Seb, you know this personally.
I've lived it, but I want you to explain it.
You know, and when a guy who is an apolitical guy serving in government for 15 years, gets mercilessly attacked, I can take it. I'm a hockey guy. I can take the attacks, whatever, right? But when they flat out put you on display for the world to see and make up stories about you, lie about you to the world.
Who?
The mainstream media.
The media.
Right. With the assistance of course, the likes of Fiona Hill and Vindman and characters like that. Being defamed is not fun. I can take it, but we've got families. People have to read about it. Why? If it's true, then report
then
away.
Then it's not defamation.
Then it's not defamation. So we got enough of that, and Devin and I were like, you know what? We got to clear our name. So we filed our own separate lawsuits, and we started it. You know, I filed against Politico, the New York Times, and CNN. All still going.
Wow.
Going very well, by the way.
Nice.
And I am not taking a knee. They will. and then we got out of government. I got out of government after the Trump administration, and people were like, I've been defamed. I've been deplatformed. And I'm like, well, then why don't you go sue, ignorantly? So I was like, well, here you go. Go sue. And they're like, those cost a lot of money. We don't have the means.
You're talking about average citizens, not chief investigators on Capitol Hill.
Yeah. So I said, all right, well, I'll start fightwithcash.com. We're going to go around and raise money. We have a platform. We've got great Americans like Seb who let us talk about it. Nobody charges us anything. We raise all the money. It's now all encompassed under the Cash Foundation, by the way, 501c3.
So nice.
Uncle Sam can't knock on your door anymore and say you didn't pay your taxes. Everything's fully deductible.
Cash Foundation.
Yeah, it's all encompassed under the fightwithcash.com. But literally, I don't know if I told you this. A month ago, we filed a lawsuit for a young man who was excoriated by this left-wing radical outlet about January 6th. So we said, enough. We walked into court, we paid the attorneys, and we said, here's your defamation lawsuit for $20 million against this company. Go forth and conquer. And we're doing that around the country. And we're not taking a percentage. We're not asking for money back. We are going in there so you can clear your name. The price tag of clearing your name, Seth, yeah. Is priceless. So fightwithcash.com. Any support you guys can give us is tremendous and greatly appreciated.
Go forth and conquer. That's his motto. That should be the motto of all patriots. Fightwithcash.com. Check it out if you have been libeled, if you've been defamed, or if you want to support others who are fighting for the truth. Cash with a K. That's fightwithcash.com. So, Cash, your family emigrated here. Mm-hmm. I'm a legal immigrant to the United States. You're an optimist, and we can fix it. Can we make?
We have to. It's not a choice.
Yes,
it's not
that's
a choice.
The answer. Okay,
it's just not.
Talk to me about cancel culture of average citizens, not just defamation. Mm-hmm. You have this service for conservative businesses. Mm-hmm. So unlike Mike Lindell, you can't be canceled by your bank because mm-hmm. you're conservative. It's patriots.us. It's payment processing. It protects conservatives. Will you just react to the libs of TikTok, Washington Post, Taylor Lorenz phenomena? These people, and I'm not talking about you being attacked or attacked. I'm talking about this orthodox Jewish woman with an account that just shows the left for who they are. Will you talk to us about the fact that it looks like the mainstream media has no morals at all?
No, they don't. Well, first of all, the fact that this Taylor whatever person, her job title is influencer follower. I don't even, where do you go? What school gives that degree now? Which woke institution of higher education now says you can go be an influencer? And of course, CNN hires her. So,
influencer follower.
Follower. Sorry.
Right. Influencer stalker. Follower. Right.
So they go out and what do they do? And that's why we have to build a whole ecosystem right on our side. It's not just you got to put in Rumble for YouTube. It's not just you got to put in Truth Social for any sort of Twitter or what have you. It's the payment processing. Trump got shut down. Lindell got shut down. But mom and pop stores got shut down. Gun owners got shut down.
Yeah.
They cannot survive because the banks have come in and they've said...
Let me be clear. For those of you who aren't following this, what he just said, Mike Flynn's wife had her credit cards canceled because she's General Flynn's wife. Not because she's, bringing in, coke to the country for Hunter Biden to snort, but because she's married to Mike Flynn. This is real in America.
It's outrageous. And most business owners in America, they make enough to support their family for the year, and that's it, right? So if you own a little store, a candy store, if you have an online T-shirt company, if you have a bank even, if you have whatever merchant you have, the payments need to be processed. It's not rocket science. And the banks have said no to conservatives. Well, Patriots, with Y, P-A-Y-T-R-I-O-T-S, says yes to everyone.
But what service do you provide at patriots.us with a Y?
Very simple. If you own a merchant company, if you own an online store, if you have a brick and mortar store, if you sell anything, if you're a church and you have online donations, or you're a charity of any kind, your payments will be processed full stop. You will not ever be canceled. That's the whole point of Patriots.us.
So if you're selling T-shirts that say 1776 and somebody's giving you a credit card, they can come through you.
Yep, and your business will stay alive. And we will give you a rate that is very comparable, if not better, than the one you're paying. And you won't have to live over the threat of, am I going to get canceled because I said this, or I went to this church, or I had this prayer session, or I support this gun store? No,
that's
you're not
huge.
Going to.
All right,
so
guys.
We built it, and it's fully operational. Patriots.us, come in. It'll take you 2 days to onboard your company.
Patriots with a Y. And I think if you use code Gorka.
Well, if you got to use code Gorka, because otherwise I'm not giving you the discount.
All right, you heard it there. If you want to be safe, this guy who's been protecting all Americans is going to protect your business as a conservative. Okay, last question. What is your message? Because this is 3 million people on radio, plus all our video streams, Rumble, and the stuff we post on Truth Social and everywhere else. What is your message to those who, and God love them, people who sit there and listen to us and enjoy it as they're driving the kids to school or picking up the groceries or walking the dog? but who aren't actively engaged in saving America. Do you have a message for them, Cash?
Yeah. Keep doing it and find 10 more people that aren't doing it.
But get engaged.
But get engaged. Do something that educates you the right way. Listen to this show. Get off CNN.
But it's more than educating.
Yeah.
My message is, it's like my wife who shocked me 2 months ago, who said, enough with the drag queen story out at the library. I'm going to run for public office.
Well,
she hates politics.
But she did it.
No, but isn't that what we need, millions of people to do?
We need so much more of that. We need what Loudoun County did. We need what the school teachers and the suburban wives did there against CRT. We need that to happen across the board, whether it's run for local office, support a person who's running for local. You don't have to run yourself.
But help somebody who is.
You don't have to cut checks even, but go out there and march.
Right.
Go out there and be a part of the movement. Otherwise, our kids are going to go to school and be taught things such as sexual orientation programs at the age of 2 and be told critical race theory is the right way forward.
Yeah.
We can't have any of that.
All right, I'm going to do something against my own interests, although you should go to sebgorkastore.com right now and get all your merch. It's sebgorkastore.com. But he promised it to me, and he's a guy who keeps his promises, and it's lovely and soft. I'm so delighted. My Fight With Cash hoodie. Go to fightwithcash.com because they need your support, because we need to take back the Republic. All right, guys, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, keep your head on a swivel, watch your six, hold the line, never give up, never give in, and stay frosty.
Our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
I have a dream.
Ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you, the rest of the world hears you, and the people... and the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
If you want to judge something, sometimes it's hard to judge that thing, that event, that person head on. And sometimes there's an easier way. There's a cheat, in a good sense, not in a bad sense. But you judge it, the person, the event, by how others are reacting to it. That, dear friends, is the perfect way to understand the events of the last 24 hours. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Network. We had the announcement minutes before the show yesterday that Elon Musk, who, if you take Putin out of the equation, because his holdings are secreted away and bank accounts in Cyprus and he stole all of the money anyway. If you ignore Putin, if you take him off, Elon Musk is the richest person in the world who didn't steal his billions. And his decision to not only make an offer of almost $50 billion for the most influential social media platform that is available out there, because the Chinese are not going to sell TikTok, the decision accepted by the board of directors, well, that is creating a tsunami of responses amongst those who don't like you, don't like America and what it represents, and really hate themselves and the civilization of which they are a part, meaning Western civilization. Let's listen to one of the greatest strategic minds alive today, regular guest on the show, Stanford University's Victor Davis Hanson, on why we've seen the reaction in the last 24 hours that we have. Play cut.
I think that the left is terrified in particular, but all of Silicon Valley is in general, because it's not just a potential buyer. It's the richest man in the world. And it's not just back to the climate of 2020. We're in a very different news cycle. And people have seen the last 15 months of this administration, and they know about the stories that you just referenced, and they're angry. And so the public is receptive to it, and they've got these midterms looming where if the Republicans take the House and Senate, and they may well, there's going to be legislation looking at these monopolies. So he looks at this, he scans the horizon, and he thinks this is a very good time. And I think that the Silicon Valley and the left think, you know, we got to be careful about this guy. He took Tesla, and everybody thought he was a nut, and it's the largest company in the world, auto company in the world on the basis of market capitalization. It's worth over $1 trillion. Yeah. And he did that himself, and maybe he has expansive plans. Maybe he wants to have Twitter as a platform and go into what Facebook does or Google does or Snapchat or Instagram and just revolutionize the whole Silicon Valley. And he might have the money and the wherewithal and the public support and political support behind him. So you're starting to see the left, Martha, say things like, oh, it's just an elite medium. It's just for mostly liberals, mostly white, mostly bi-coastal people.
Yeah.
It's not that important, because they understand that they're losing this very important avenue to people's expression.
That's the point. Can you imagine a few years ago? What if somebody told you 10, 12 years ago, there's a guy and he's going to create a brand new car company, or with brand new technology, and he's going to get more market capitalization than Ford and GM and Toyota, you would have said that's insanity. It's impossible. The auto industry is ossified. It is in place. You can't break in and not only be successful, but be more successful than marks, brands that have been around for a century. It's what he did. And could he do that? I get it. I get the qualms, the issues with his business interest in China or elsewhere. But what he is a disruptor first, a very successful disruptor. It's not just cars. It's the space race as well, single-handedly with his company, SpaceX. And how do we know that there's a real threat? Because we know what happened previously. We understand what the existing prior owners of Twitter, of Facebook, of Google, of YouTube have done politically and what they think of you. Now, we need to probably call up the Baron, because he's been on Ari Melber's show on MSNBC, and ask him how Ari said last night what he said, because there's only two permutations. Either he's really stupid and he's a lawyer, so you never know, or he's just lying to your face. Because this clip that has since gone viral is the essence of why they're worried. Cut four.
You own all of Twitter or Facebook or what have you. You don't have to explain yourself. You don't even have to be transparent. You could secretly ban one party's candidate or all of its candidates, all of its nominees, or you could just secretly turn down the reach of their stuff and turn up the reach of something else, and the rest of us might not even find out about it till after the election.
If you buy Twitter, Elon, you could have a political party that you favor. You could cancel out their candidate or candidates. You could even delete their Twitter accounts. You could suppress with algorithms the stories that you don't want people to know about. And America would only find out after the election. Now, he didn't say that as a joke. He wasn't being sarcastic. It wasn't a flip comment. So either he's a cretin or he's lying. Because that's exactly what they did. Not Elon Musk. It's what Twitter, it's what Dorsey, it's what Zuckerberg on Facebook did. We weren't allowed. I wasn't allowed. My Twitter account was suspended because I tried to retweet the true Hunter Biden story from the New York Post that nobody was allowed to retweet until what happened? Oh, 3 weeks ago, the Washington Post said, yeah, it's his laptop. But it doesn't matter now because his daddy, the big guy who got 10%, is president. So when they project their sins, their crimes on the other, you're allowed a glimpse into the dark, dark soul of those who hate this nation. Ari Melba hates America, at least the America you believe in, the greatest nation on God's earth, built by toxic men that defeated the left in the form of Hitler. And then the Soviet Union, because yes, it was the Nazi Party, the Socialist Workers' Party of Germany. America's the problem because we're too successful, too free, too white. That's why we're the oppressors, don't you understand? And what if the good guys do to us what we did to them? I don't know, is Mr. G there? I can't see in our new TV studio because they're in the control center. Mr. G, are you there?
I'm here.
Got to ask you, Ari Melba, is he stupid or did he believe what he just said?
Well, MSNBC, they call him one of the smartest guys on television. They think that that's their genius.
Ari Melba
yeah.
is the genius?
Him and Rachel Maddow.
So he's lying.
He's got to be. I mean, but I don't understand even the lying about that. You know you're going to be getting made fun of and just ridiculed the next day.
Yeah, I got to see. Ari... let's put the invitation out there. First, we're going to get the Baron. We're going to get him on the show this week. We're going to ask him, is Ari really that stupid? Because he's getting ratioed to Kingdom Come with that video. We're going to ask him because he's been on the show and he's destroyed Ari live on his own show. And then he should come on our show, Ari Melba. If you've got the stones, come on America First. I'm Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Trump, member of the National Security Education Board. Make sure you never miss a moment. Go right now to Spotify, plug in my name, America First, Sebastian Gorka. Subscribe. It's free. Write a review. Share the links. We'll be back with a former member of the Trump cabinet. Stay on this channel.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.